Hi, everybody. Welcome to Scoop on Poop. Or how to do video conferencing and include some hands-on activities so you don't bore the kids you're trying to work with to death. Your site should have the following materials with you. You should have a sheet that looks like this. It's a two-page stapled sheet that shows in color what different bones look like. You should have a teacher's guide that you can all share.
Okay, that'd be fine.
Called Scoop on Poop. I have yours. You should have a pair of forceps, plastic. And a small vial containing bones. From fish. And our speaker from Alaska Sea Life will explain to you why there's a vial of bones and fish. I want to tell you a little bit about why I asked Rachel to join us. A couple of years ago, I was at a conference, and it was basically for K-12 teachers, and they were trying to show the teachers some ways that they could inject higher education into their classrooms in a way that wasn't dull. So how do you take what could be considered dry material, transmit it to the students in a way that they'll feel engaged in what they're learning without just having them stare at a television screen the entire time? So I attended this workshop called Scoop on Poop, and I thought that this was one of the best examples of how to engage students in an activity. Scoop on Poop is basically for 6th through 12th graders. I suspect you could do a very similar one for other grades. There are lots of different kinds of activities you can do this way, where faculty members at your institution can use video conferencing technology to match up with a K-12 school district to work with children in a particular classroom on virtually any activity that you want. Scoop on Poop can be used for mathematics classes, for social studies classes, for English classes, for lots of different kinds of activities. There's an activity that the food science department at Rutgers has developed, which I've done in person with students, a sensory testing exercise, that would work just as well over the video conferencing setup. So I think it's an ideal way to get faculty engaged in working with the K-12 sector without them actually having to leave the comfort of their campuses. And as we know, faculty don't really like to leave the comfort of their campuses. I think in part because they can't get parking when they come back. Did I hear some guffaw from someplace when I made that joke?
Yes.
I hope. Thank you. Little bit of feedback from whoever was just talking.
Yeah, it's super helpful because it's one of our situations. That's why we're muted and you didn't hear our hearty guffaw.
Thank you very much. We're still trying to connect to Rachel. How are we doing, Matt?
Waiting for her to get back to me.
Okay, good.
She said about 5 minutes, this was a couple minutes ago.
Okay, so I'll keep dancing for a little while longer. One of the other things that I will let you know about is actually three concurrent activities in the K-12 area that are going on in our region. One is the development of a database at Rutgers of faculty who are interested in working with students in K-12. That database should be available and for you to look at, for you to add information to by the middle of this month. At the same time that we're doing this, the NJ Edge organization is also developing a similar database for institutions from throughout the state. And at the same time that NJ Edge is doing this, the Internet 2 regional organization, MagPie, is doing the same thing. The obvious question, of course, is why aren't we all doing just one database? We've had discussions about this. And the best conclusion that we've come to is that we're going to try to develop similar search engines, similar search fields throughout the databases. But for political and proprietary reasons, there's a need to keep the databases separate, at least at this point in time. So if you search the Rutgers database and you don't find what you're looking for, there will be a link into the state database and then a link into the regional database so that eventually, hopefully, you'll be able to find what you're really looking for. So that's part of what's going on in the area of K through 12 on the campuses. I'm sorry? None of the databases are live at this time. The first one that's supposed to go live is the one at Rutgers. Right now, my staff are actually working at this minute trying to get the database so that it's searchable and so that you can enter data into a form. But we've gathered the information from throughout the university. There's a few hundred entries of research centers, of teaching and learning programs from individual faculty who have either done this kind of work locally and are interested in doing it using technology, or faculty who have not done it but would like to try it. The Rutgers database is not limited to video conferencing. We have faculty on the list who will actually travel to a location. I don't know if NJEDGE or Internet 2 is going to be following that pattern at this time. So we'll see what happens. I think it's a good development in the state. Linking higher education with the K-12 sector is very, very important. The technology availability for K-12 is growing probably right now faster than it is in higher education. They're catching up to us. They're putting video conferencing technologies and network technologies in many, many school districts in the state. And you can get a list of the actual schools throughout the state who are attached to Verizon's Access New Jersey network by going to accessnj.com. So if there's a particular school that you want to work with and you want to find out if they are linked to Access New Jersey, you go to the web link. It'll give you the information, and through that you should be able to get in touch with the person at the school and try to begin a program. So far, any questions in Camden, New Brunswick? I know you didn't all come here to listen to me, but I'm dancing right now.
Gail, can you mute your mic for a second?
I'm sorry?
Can you mute your mic for a second? I have to mention something, and there's going to be a feedback loop. I just got off the phone with Rachel Simon from the Alaska Sea Life Center. They apparently had an issue with their relaying yesterday, and they have no connectivity where they are right now. They're working on it. As far as the fix time, she's going to call me as soon as they know anything, but right now we're kind of
dead
in the water, exactly. So.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll try to fill in for her a little bit. I don't know as much about this program, obviously, as she does, but in the meantime, I'll see if we can keep going.
Okay.
As part of the Alaska standards, and most states now have something like core curriculum standards, the Alaska Sea Life Center set up this program to help teach a number of different scientific, mathematical, and social science concepts to the students. One of the things that they found that students seem to really like to play with and really like to learn about is animal scat. Another word for scat, for those of you who are not familiar, is poop. What they have learned is that the sea lions off the coast of Seward, Alaska, are impacted very strongly by changes in water temperature, in availability of food, and things like that. The number of sea lions is going down, and part of what the Alaska Sea Life Center got a grant to study is why this is happening. And so they began to look at a number of different things. They looked at water temperatures, and they had a number of experiments looking at water temperatures, and not to anyone's great surprise, the temperature is going up a little bit. Along with the temperature going up, though, is also a change in the number and size of the fish that sea lions eat. And so in order to see if they could learn something about this phenomenon, the Alaska Sea Life Center sent researchers out and they literally scoop up sea lion poop, scat, sorry, from the rocks. And if you have a copy of your teacher's guide, you will actually see someone scraping scat. And what they then do is they bring it back to the lab, they basically sterilize it, and they take the bones from the scat and they put them in a little vial, which they send out to people to use to help them with their experiments. Now, if you pour out the contents of your vial onto the table in front of you or a chair in front of you, what you'll see is a lot of different kinds of bones. And I'd like you to do that now, if you don't mind. So,
I guess,
yeah.
Ron,
this is what Don wanted to do.
What's
a camera excuse?
I'm sorry, Ken. I always put it wrong.
I should bring
the
camera.
Are your bones out? Okay, would you like the other vials? We have two vials. Would you like to come up and get another one? So for the younger grades, one of the experiments you might do is simply separating the bones and seeing how many of each kind of bone there are. So what I'd like you to do now is to start separating the bones into little piles based on the size, the shape of the bones. At the same time that you're doing that, you may want to try to match them to the diagram of the bones that you have in front of you. I think the reason that they are starting this as a 6th through 12th grade activity is that these bones are not easy to pick up with the forceps. They can learn. Some of the things that the scientists can learn is they can determine the fish species length and weight from measuring the bones and using formulas that are available. And they can actually measure the fish's age by counting the rings on one of the specific bones. So obviously part of this experiment is to show students what the scientific method is about. You have a hypothesis that says that the fish are getting smaller, let's say. And so the first thing you want to do is look at the sizes of the bones and how many of each of the kind of bones to see which fish are still available and are they getting smaller than the last time you did this experiment. You could also do a social studies experiment or activity where you talk about resource conservation and global warming and topics like that. Obviously, you could have them write stories about what the life of the sea lion might be like. You can have the students participate in debates about global warming or other kinds of topics. So what they've done at the Alaska Sea Life Center is they put together this teacher's guide, which is what I've been referencing. And within the teacher's guide, they explain to the teacher basically how to go through these kinds of activities. What people usually do when they hook up with Rachel in the Alaska Sea Life Center is that she'll actually show you sea lions, she'll actually talk you through the process, show some things that are going on at the Sea Life Center so that you feel like you're part of this environment of doing science in a real research center. And that's part of why we wanted to bring Rachel on board with us, so that we could see from the research center's perspective just how they're doing this kind of work. So how are we coming along separating our bones? Newark, how are we doing? You doing okay, Newark? Okay. What, how about Camden? How are we doing in Camden?
Excellent.
Okay, almost done?
No.
You're done in Camden. I know Camden, I apologize, there was only one vial for you, but you can share.
We're sharing.
And New Brunswick, how are you doing?
We seem to be making progress here.
Making progress. Okay, that sounds very positive, I must say. So let me give you a couple more minutes to finish separating out and identifying the bones. What I'm seeing here in Newark, just as an idea of how to do it, is one of the people here in Newark is actually taking the bones and putting them on top of the picture that most closely represents what the bone looks like. So that's one way that you could do this. Some of what you might find in with the bones is actually just sort of junk. But you'll recognize junk. It is clean junk. They really do sterilize the stuff, so don't hesitate about picking it up if you have to. There are similar experiments that you can do with owl pellets, and a lot of the younger grades will use owl pellets to do these kinds of examples. You can purchase over the internet similar kinds of kits with owl pellets, and if you hook up with your neighborhood wildlife center or in New Jersey perhaps the Raptor Trust, you can actually work with them to have them talk a little bit about the animals, show the animals, and then you can go through the same kind of exercise with owl pellets. It's very engaging to the students as they move along.
Are you engaging?
Oh, I'm engaging.
What's here?
I got to see. Can I get a picture that you can find?
I was going to get a picture of him watching her.
Surprising if they broke. They're very, very. I'm sorry?
We're having a little bit of trouble with the identification process, but we're working on it.
Okay. I know it's difficult. Part of what happens when you ship bones through the mail is that they jiggle around a lot, and depending upon how careful the mail people were along the way between Alaska and here, I can't guarantee how much those vials got shook up. I guess next time I can suggest to her that she pad them in some way before they go get sent. But the other thing that happens is these bones are very fragile, and even when you're doing this as a real scientific experiment, you will find parts of bones. Because as the sea lions are chomping down on them, they may be biting into the bones, they may be getting caught someplace along the way and snapping. So what you're seeing is perfectly normal for these kinds of this kind of a situation. No, that's New Brunswick. Sorry.
I'm sorry? What happened?
I know. I'm not as entertaining as Rachel would be, but I'm trying.
Doing a great job.
You could also send your students out to the internet to learn more about sea lions and other kinds of ecological activities as part of this.
Hey, what about the coloration?
Coloration is likely to change. It's likely to be different, but I don't think it's necessarily indicative of anything. We can check with Rachel when and if we actually get her on the line.
This gets
well,
Gail to a whole new line.
They're
work.
Trying to identify if there's any, you know, we just see things that are much different in color. obvious.
You know, if she had a cell phone, she could channel him.
I think that maybe partially a fact of that these were photographs that were taken at one point in time. That may be an issue. You may have to tell your students the bones may not be exactly the same color, but you should be looking for the same shape. Just to tell you something about these sea lions, they're marine mammals. They're found in the North Pacific Ocean. They spend most of their lives at sea, and males come to rookeries in the spring to establish a mating territory. Females come shortly after to give birth and to mate, which actually sounds backwards to me. And then they return to the... unless they give birth and then mate right away, that's another one I'm not real clear about.
Real-time education.
we're meant to confuse the children, right?
Any way that we can possibly confuse children is high on our list.
They need to be impressed upon them that they have a unique...
Absolutely.
You know, ecological and biological...
Absolutely. The largest amount of false information we can plant in their heads and political standpoints that we can put in their heads when they're younger, the better off we are.
Using teleconferencing.
So if you're a firm believer in global warming and in harm to this, to our natural resources, this is a great exercise that you can work on. You can also provide a balanced perspective by going to Exxon.com and reading what they have to say about the Valdez spill.
It didn't happen.
And for those of you who are very young, go on the web and read about it. Because you might not have been here when it happened. Like 20? Yeah, probably 20 or 25 years ago. So you will have students in your class, most likely, who will have no idea what this is all about.
1989.
So sea lions eat pollock, mackerel, salmon, herring, cod, octopus, and squid. And some of the bones that you've seen should come from those animals. Divide up the parts and match them to the key, record at least 3 specific times the types of fish bones. I think you can all do that part. Say yes, please.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so the next thing that you want to do then to find out a little bit about their diet is to count the total number of eye lenses. Now, of course, the eye lens, for those of you who are looking at your cheat sheet, is in the upper left-hand corner. Do any of you have eye lenses? Okay. So you would have your students record that number. Once you divide that number by 2, because most fish have 2 eyes, you'll be able to determine the total number of fish represented by this batch of scats. So how many fish do we have in Camden?
We have half a fish, 0.5.
Okay, round up.
Okay, one.
Okay, we got one in Camden. How many fish do we have in New Brunswick?
Two fish.
Okay, there's two vials in New Brunswick, so I should be hearing two numbers from New Brunswick.
We only opened one vial, two fish.
Ah, okay, thank you. And Newark, how many fish do we have? How many fish does the other group in Newark have? Oh, we've joined them together. Okay. So now we have a general idea of just how many fish is likely this particular sea lion ate. So the next thing you would do is look for beaks. Beaks. There are a couple of different kinds of beaks. There are squid beaks and octopus beaks. And I'm looking along with you to see if I can find the beaks.
She isn't checking on the seniors.
I'll tell them later I synthesized the data.
So of course, since we're not seeing any beaks at all in the diagram, and I don't know enough about squid beaks, I think we'll just pass over that and go on. We're really hopeful that Rachel will be joining us soon. How are we doing, Matt?
Haven't heard word back from her yet. We're still
waiting. Okay, I'll keep the answer.
I'm guessing,
okay.
Quite frankly, I'm guessing that their network issues are going to be, extended.
Yeah, I'm guessing that too. All right, so the next thing you want to do is count the otoliths, which are ear stones. Now, if you had rulers with you, I would ask you to measure the length of the otolith. And on page 7, you would then compare the length of the otolith to the chart on page 7 and find out what the length of the fish was.
Chart on page 7. That's nice, linear.
And then you would use the chart on page 8 to determine the weight of this particular fish. Obviously, if you were working with the younger grades, you might want to simplify this exercise. Since we're working with fully formed adults, I don't feel the need to do that today. Now, the obvious question that somebody should be asking right now is, if I only had one fisheye, how can I have multiple otoliths? And I don't know the answer to that question.
Maybe they have eight fish ears.
You were just talking about that. He was asking that very question.
Two seals had a fight over one fish.
Right, the explanation that we have from our scat expert here in Newark is that it is likely that, and he's by the way called a scatologist in case any of you wondered, what he suggests is that when sea lions relieve themselves, they may not do it all in one portion of scat. And so that you might have to look at a number of portions of scat to get some of this information. So how long are our fish? How big are these fish that we're finding? I don't know if anyone has a millimeter ruler in front of them.
How big are the fish?
Because I know I carry one with me wherever I go. That was somebody I knew laughing because they know it's true, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, we were laughing about something independent.
Oh, okay.
Problem.
Okay.
I guess.
Now, you're not in sixth grade, so the word scat shouldn't make you laugh.
But it kind of does.
That was Matt.
Was that Bill that I heard saying that?
Could be.
Okay, well, can I ask another obvious question since we're just dancing around? What does somebody do if they schedule a class like this? What are they doing? Can they reschedule it if there's technical difficulties?
No, they dance.
I have never known them to have this level of technical difficulties. Generally, when I have tried to reach Rachel, she's been actively involved in an exercise like this. I do not know why we're having these technical difficulties. My assumption is that you would reschedule this, and that what you would probably try to do is have another lesson plan sitting waiting just in case you couldn't get the network connections made. You also probably would have asked Rachel, which I don't know if we did, to try to connect into the system an hour in advance. Now, obviously, time of day has something to do with it. Seward, Alaska is 4 hours earlier than us.
Yes.
So we're at about 2 o'clock, so she's at about 10 o'clock right now. We probably would have asked her to come into work a little bit early to get things set up. This would be less of a problem if you had control over the video conferencing, if you were working with faculty at your own institution, because you would have plenty of time to test out the equipment in advance. Besides Alaska Sea Life, there are probably hundreds of other research centers around the world that have similar kinds of activities, and they're worth looking into. A lot of good websites, and if you're interested, send me email at gstein@rutgers.edu, and I'll find the list of centers that I've bookmarked that list lots of places that you could go to find these kinds of activities. What we're hoping to do in New Jersey is to actually be able to set up something similar within the state, so that you know that if you want an exercise on black bears, let's say, that you could go to this particular institution and you could learn about black bears. Or if you were interested in learning more about George Washington and his crossing of the Delaware, you could go to a particular site that would talk about the crossing of the Delaware, maybe show a movie of the recreations that they do every December. If anybody here at Rutgers in particular is interested in developing a program like this, please also get in touch with me, and I'll work with you as best as I can to make a program successful. Obviously, the video conferencing today has made this not as successful as I would have liked. Yes. Yes. Are they? They might not be on internet too, as you're saying. They're connecting with IP and ISDN connections. So they may not be on internet too. I thought they were.
Well, if they do IP, then that would cover it. They do have a connection to iTunes, but it's not clear.
Mm-hmm. The Alaska Sea Life Center charges money for these activities, as their brochure shows, mostly to recoup the costs that are involved in doing this. They have the materials that they have to print out, the shipping that they have to take care of, the use of staff resources to do this. So their costs are actually fairly low for these kinds of activities, but there are costs. So, for those of you who don't have the Alaska Sea Life Center brochure in front of you, they have activities on tide pools and cephalopods. One of my favorite titles is Eat or Be Eaten in Alaska. And they talk about whales and sea lions, careers in marine science, things like this. Okay, it looks like we have a little under 10 minutes left. Have we measured our otolith bones, or have we given up before then?
Measured.
Okay. So have we looked at the comparison between the length of the otolith bones and determined what the length of the fish were?
That's
on page 7. So how big were these fish? Camden? If you know what the otolith length is, let's say it's 10 millimeters, you would go up to the line and you would know that the length of the fish was 20 centimeters. So there's no calculation involved. You just go up and look at the line. The line's been determined by ranges of experiments that they've done. So these are your otoliths from the pollock. How long are our fish? New Brunswick, do we know?
25 centimeters.
Somebody, okay, can somebody do the math really quickly about how many inches is that for those of us who don't think in metric?
2.54 centimeters to an inch.
Okay, finish doing the math, please.
Almost 10.
Come on, Gail.
10 inches.
10 inches.
I don't, okay, so that's about a 10-inch fish. That's about yo big. New Brunswick, do we have a fish length?
20 centimeters also. 20 centimeters also.
About so, okay, so the fish are about the same size. Now, based on the length of the
fish.
I'm sorry?
Maybe it's the same fish.
I didn't include Newark. I think Newark has. You have. I'm sorry. How long are the fish in Newark?
I'm sure the fish in Newark are 21 inches long. 21?
Fresh out of the North River.
Okay. 26 centimeter fish, so Newark has the longest fish. Now let's go to page 8 and see how much the fish likely weighed. So if you were going out fishing, how tough would it be to land one of these fish? I'm not thinking a lot. Looks like for the 20 centimeter fish, it looks like the weight is virtually nothing.
Yeah.
And for the 26 inch fish, it looks like the 12 ounces, yes. So you can divide this up into ounces if you are as knowledgeable as my colleague here, Ken. And that's hampered by, yes, I understand that. So about 12 ounces, so it's a fish that's a little bit less than a pound. So these are fairly small fish. They wouldn't be very hard for you to land. Obviously, they're not very difficult for the sea lions to eat. But I do believe that these fish have gotten smaller over time based on what I've read about the sea lion population. Stellar sea lions are very important to the Alaska economy, and so having fewer sea lions, has a direct effect on the economy of Alaska. Okay, so does anybody have any questions that I can't answer?
Yes.
Thank you for being so well.
Well, you're very welcome. I tried as much as I could. I will see if at some other time I can manage to actually get Alaska Sea Life Center to connect to us and we can try it again. But in the meantime, I've done my absolute best. It is much more interesting when you can actually see the Alaska Sea Life Center and they can show you the aquaria and they can show you the sea lions and things like that. Obviously, by the way, I was just waving at one of the people in Newark who was leaving, in case you wondered why I was waving. It wasn't to say goodbye to all of you, although that was coming soon. So anyway, the purpose of this, this somewhat bizarre demonstration was to say, we can do this here at Rutgers, we can do this here in New Jersey. We've got plenty of opportunities through places like our Marine Science Center, research centers, other kinds of places to reach out. Another program that you might be interested in New Jersey is called Science in the Cinema. It's a fabulous program. Science in the Cinema basically you would show a movie to your class, perhaps Aaron Brockovich, and then you would bring into the class, either using video conferencing technology or otherwise, who would perhaps talk about the toxicology and whether it was true and other kinds of topics related to a movie that has science in it. Aaron Brockovich is the one that comes to mind because it's the one that I know that they've been working with. Jurassic Park, Lorenzo's Oil. So if there's a particular movie that fits into the discipline that you teach, that you think might be relevant for an audience like this, we can work on a science in the cinema or a humanities or social science in the cinema program, working with the people in NJ Edge who've gotten involved with this. If you are from K through 12, there's a wonderful man named Matt Conforth who teaches at Passaic Valley High School. Matt is the biggest proponent for linking up K-12 with higher education that I've ever met, and I'm sure he'd be happy to talk to you about what they're doing at Passaic Valley and what other opportunities are available. Any last questions? Okay, thank you very much. We will see you all at 2:30 for our next session.
Thank you, Gail.
Thanks, Gail. You did a great job.
Thank you. If the proctors at each site could collect back the vials and the forceps, I'd appreciate it. Just put them back in the envelopes and get them back to me at some point. Thank you.
Should we be reclaiming the scat as well?
Our scat is scattered. What do we do now?